Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. We have seen his glory. It was in the year 1904 that Helen Keller became the first blind and deaf person to receive a Bachelor of Arts degree from college. Keller is quoted once as saying, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." It's kind of a profound thought because all of us at some point suffer from a type of blindness. Just because you see the rainbow in the sky, you don't recognize the brilliance of God's color work. And just because you look at a bouquet of flowers doesn't mean that you acknowledge God's handiwork in his beauty of creation. We can attend church and sing Christmas hymns and act festive and joyous and pious, but many of us never truly see Jesus. This morning in John's Gospel, God invites you to really see Jesus, just as John saw him as he walked the earth. In his Gospel, John does not say we glanced at Jesus or we glimpsed or we peeked at Jesus, but he says we have seen his glory. It's as if John comes up close and fixes his eyes closely on Jesus to describe him, not describing him from a distance, but right up on top of his subject. And that's John inviting you, what John is inviting you to do in his gospel also. So all scripture quotes in my homily this morning are taken from John's gospel, with the exception of just two, and I'll point those out when I use them. But the whole gospel of John is seeing Jesus. We see him everywhere in this gospel. John begins by quoting John the Baptist, saying, "See the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then Philip inviting Nathanael to come. "Come and see." The Samaritan woman says, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." Palm Sunday, "See, your king comes to you." And on that very same day, Greeks came to Peter and said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." On Easter morning, Mary is beside herself when she runs to the disciples and says, "I have seen the Lord." But possibly the blind man says it best. "I was blind, but now I see." Christ Jesus is the prophet who comes from Galilee. He spoke with authority, yet he loved with childlike humility. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the splendor of God, all in a humble form, born in a manger, in a human body. And we have seen his glory. When you hear the word glory, you probably think of beauty and power and majesty. When I think of glory, many times I think of Jesus walking on the water, or feeding 5,000, or raising Lazarus, healing the sick, all of his many miracles. Sometimes we think that Jesus' glory means that you could recognize who he is just by looking at him. Oh, there's someone who looks holier than everyone else. But that's not what it means. In John's gospel, Jesus' ultimate glory is in his suffering and death. On Palm Sunday, Jesus set his face toward the cross. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." In the upper room, right after Judas got up to betray him, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified." And just after Jesus, or just before Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son." Jesus' ultimate glory is leaving the majesty of heaven, taking on the flesh of man, and innocently suffering a God-forsaken death. Roman crucifixion is the most violent form of execution known to the ancient world. Jesus suffered the lash of the leather strips, stripping his back of its flesh. He wore a crown of thorns, cutting deep gashes in his head as the blood flowed down his body. The pain tormented his face, and the long nails through his wrists and his feet disfigured his body with each and every gasp for another breath. But all these historical details don't help you to see Jesus. Being religious and devout doesn't help you to see Jesus. And trying harder, trying to be more committed and more sincere in your faith isn't going to do the job. It's only when you understand that that cradle in the stable points to the cross that you truly see Jesus. It's only when you understand that the cradle points to a horrible death on the cross in your stead that you truly see Jesus. That's because Jesus' greatest glory is to love you and to forgive you and to come to you right where you are in your life. He's the Jesus of the sick and the distressed. He's the Jesus of the dying marriage. He's the Jesus of the divorced and the desperate. He's the Jesus of the bitterly broken, of the soiled and the shame, and he's the Jesus of those who are hanging on to their very last thread at the end of their rope because they're so disgusted with what their life has become. Can you see Jesus? Take a close look. You'd think that to see and hear the angel voices in heaven would have been enough for the shepherds. While watching their sheep at night on that silent night, the heavens erupted with light and joyous singing. St. Luke says, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. But that wasn't enough for the shepherds. They wanted to go see Jesus. And for the wise men, a brilliant star in the sky was not enough. Not that the star was not spectacular, but it was a magnificent star over Bethlehem, but they still wanted to go see Jesus. Jerusalem's temple was huge in all of its splendor, but it wasn't enough for Simeon. The temple was grand and glorious. It was where the priests sacrificed and the kings reigned and the prophets preached, but that wasn't enough for Simeon. He wanted to see his Lord's Messiah. Simeon wanted to see Jesus. And then there's doubting Thomas. He refused to believe that Christ had risen from the dead until he put his fingers in those very wounds of Jesus and see them with his own eyes. And upon Jesus, Thomas explained, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Dear Christian, don't look for angels in the sky, don't look for angels in the heavens and stars in the sky, or chase after ancient relics in temples. Don't trust in your Christmas trees or your toys or your tinsel and your turkey. Seek the Savior like shepherds. worship your king like wise men and hold tight to him, just as Simeon did. To rephrase Helen Keller's words, before coming to faith, you had sight, but you had no vision. But the faith given in the holy waters of baptism changed all of that. You were once blind, but now you see. Your vision has been restored. At the font, you were given clear eyes of faith, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, these perfect eyes of faith. The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Until our Lord's return on the last day, you walk by faith, not by sight. Your faith resides in Christ Jesus and in his word and sacrament, because our Lord doesn't want to deal with us in any other place other than through his spoken word and his instituted sacraments. It's where the invisible God comes to you in his own visible means, forgiving your sins, strengthening your faith, strengthening you to serve your neighbor as yourself. With the eyes of faith, you can rightly say, we have seen the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.